The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network. She's one of the world's most influential names in fitness, listed among the AFR's Young Rich List, Forbes, and partnered with identities like Khloe Kardashian and Good American, boasting more than 15 million followers across the globe. With a family, an empire, and dumbbells in hand, Emily has made her dreams into reality, and she's here to show that you can too. This is the You Can Podcast by Emily Sky.
Hey everyone, I'm Emily Sky. Welcome to the You Can Podcast. In today's episode, we're answering all of your questions about fitness, exercise, and your body. And since I'm sure C won't be any help,
I'm offended deeply.
We've brought in a professional, Jono Freeman. Welcome back, Jono.
Thank you, guys. Great to be here.
We are, of course, joined by Sam.
Yeah, I know. Thanks for that.
Thanks for the intro.
Sam, who's can't help you.
They know you're here.
surely, because they've subscribed and watched very closely, have already listened to the episode that you've previously been on, Jono. But just in case people aren't aware, he's extremely well-credentialed with words I can't say.
A lot of
musculoskeletal. Thank you very much.
Got it now, nailed.
I'll just go through it in case you missed it. And if you missed it, it's because you didn't subscribe. And again, I'm offended.
And we're coming for you to put you through a session.
Literally. He's a Bachelor of Exercise Science and a Master's in Exercise Rehabilitation and consults to national and international teams, Olympic athletes and organizations in the field of injury, rehabilitation and strength and conditioning. He's a sessional academic in musculoskeletal health and functional anatomy at Southern Cross University and presents nationally and internationally at fitness conferences and universities in the field of injury rehabilitation. Yeah, that's substantial. I could wrap up me in probably just the one word. Hi, Sam, can't help you today.
Can't help
there
you.
There it is.
We love that. Did you say, can I help you today, or I can't help you?
Sam can't help you today.
Please drive
through to the next window.
That's correct.
You'll find Jono at that window.
Ready to help with all your injuries.
Now, we put it out, obviously, to your followers, questions that people had. So some of these, I guess they're going to be all over the place. We're going to do some that are, you know, going to be a bit more in-depth than others and whatnot. But I'll just start scrolling through and we'll start asking them and see where we sort of get to. But one of the questions in here, which I think is interesting, is how did you get into this field? Jono, tell us.
Well, I played rugby league, actually, at a fairly high level. And I had an injury to my shoulder really bad. And I guess I just needed to I guess I'm the type of person who really likes to know a lot about each thing.
Yeah.
So the more I learned about what I was doing to my body, the more I wanted to know about how I could help other people. And, it's really basic. There's really nothing exciting to show you. There's no
and now you've
but
gone
then you
really
study.
Intense.
Like, do they mean how did you get into it, as in how you decided or what you actually did, what the steps you took to do it? Is that?
Well, I haven't spoken to them directly, if I'm honest.
Because you said can't help you. So.
But exactly right.
There's really no fancy story around it. I really enjoy helping people, and it's a really you get a lot of satisfaction and a lot of fulfillment out of getting people out of pain and making them perform better or function better.
Yeah.
Okay, fab. Well, that was a question from Michaela_Vandermeerwee. Okay, like the pronunciation of this name's going to be bad. I'm sorry.
I'm glad it's not me though, because I'm worse.
Vandermeerwee, I think. It's hard, right, because on Instagram some of them aren't their names. You know, yeah. They're adding letters after and whatnot, so I don't know if it's actually her last name is
Vandermeerwee. Just say the first, maybe.
Anyway, we'll move on from that. Anna_Seca, one I can pronounce, is stretching before or after exercising really important?
Yes, most definitely. Stretching.
Both?
Yes.
I don't do enough of it.
I don't think any of us
I have to say, I just don't. I finish it, I'm like, I don't have time, I got to go inside and feed my baby and work.
What's the minimum we can get away with before and after?
Minimum effective dose. Good question, Sam.
I'm not going to like this answer.
It's a very long-winded answer, but I think 10 minutes prior and 10 minutes after is probably the easiest, most simplest way to answer the question.
And when you say stretching before, what sort of stretching?
It's a different type of stretching, yeah. So there's two different – well, there's lots of different ways you can stretch, but the two basic ones are static stretching, which is holding a position, and dynamic stretching, which is moving a joint through a range of motion. Dynamic stretching prior to exercise – and then static stretching after exercise. So static stretching after exercise has been shown to help improve recovery processes and those sorts of things. So I'd say 10 minutes before, 10 minutes after. The dynamic prior can be really well introduced with your activation, things that we spoke about in that previous podcast.
Righto. Now, I'm a big fan of The Minimum.
I thought you were going to say of me then, but anyway.
I'm a huge Emily Sky fan, obviously. Yeah. But is stretching part of the warm-up? When you say 10 minutes?
Yeah, like, yeah. So it's I'm incorporated into the activation stuff.
Great.
Yeah.
Hello?
Are you listening? So,
no, I'm just making sure, though, because when we're saying warm-up, you're talking about stretching.
Yeah,
like
but he
two
said
two different types of stretching. So one's dynamic, which is a movement-based stretch.
Yeah.
So like you're taking the joint. So say things like standing on one leg and swinging your other leg through. That's what we classify as a dynamic stretch. And then the other.
But that's in your warm up.
In your warm up.
Yes.
And then as
it's not
cool
another
down,
10. We're not doing 20 minutes of.
No, we don't want to. Yeah, that's probably
that's
where
good.
Most people don't do enough stretching is because they're trying to get most amount of. Effectiveness out of their workout, so they think, "Oh, I'll do more high intensity exercise, and then I'll skip the stretch at the end." But
because you know, like if you go like I think this is like a school thing. If you're going for a run, you stretch and then you warm up with like a short run before you do something longer. You know, the
There's
stretch and the
old,
warm up are disconnected.
Old stuff though,
it is too. It is pretty old now. Yeah, but dynamic stretching.
I'm an old soul.
You know, you're young actually. You're the youngest here. Aren't you? Oh no, Aaron is.
Button pusher, to Aaron.
Button
All right.
pusher.
Fantastic, as I always call him. I mean, not always. The next question I've got is from Pen_Marie. Ways to strengthen the pelvic floor muscles other than standard Kegels and glute bridges. Okay. She really got in there, didn't she?
It's like you're stopping number one and number two and suck it up. Suck it up, literally.
Was that recorded? Done. That's perfect.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Musculoskeletal expert Emily. I'm just heading
well,
that
look,
today.
I think the pelvic floor is really overemphasized. The pelvic floor just never functions by itself. The pelvic floor starts to be dysfunctional postpartum because there's been so much going on in there for the last nine.
Stretching it out.
Yeah. It all loosens out and then it needs to tighten up again. And what you're trying to do by holding in your number one and your number two and pulling your belly button in and all those sorts of things is effectively try and create some stability through there
it's
again.
It's like with your core. Like I've had to do a lot of core stuff to bring it in tight because muscles are used to being stretching apart and everything.
Yeah, and when connective tissue stretches – well, connective tissue in our body is tendons and ligaments and what they call fascia. And that virtually lays down or moves around in our body based on directional force, which is why everything spreads out when your pelvis expands and all those sorts of things expand when you have a baby to create room. Mm-hmm. So obviously after the baby, your job is to do the opposite. So create as much force to hold it in.
Yeah.
So I think it's really
I think a lot of people
overemphasized.
Like postnatal people go on about a lot because they have to because you're doing the work at the start. After you've had a baby, you should start pretty much straight away doing it. But then once you get it back to what it's normally like, then you sort of don't really have to think about it much. I do emphasize it a fair bit because I have had a baby and I know a lot of people are onto me, you know, about, you know, you got to do this and that. So I make sure people are aware. But then once you've got it – you really don't have to be like pelvic floor every time, you know.
Yeah, the pelvic floor doesn't – you don't want the pelvic floor to only activate consciously.
Yeah.
Right? You want the pelvic floor to be working subconsciously, otherwise everything's going to come
out,
okay, right?
Okay, we'll take your word for it. It's no good.
Yeah.
All right, next question. Nami – I'm just moving right along. Nami.Shah is asking, how important is cardio?
Depends.
Us.
No one. Would
the
you
goal?
Like me to do it?
Like, what do they? What do they want? Like, what's?
Well, I think that there's obviously a lot of stuff out in the market, right? Like a lot of people are talking about HIIT, and then you hear about, you know, all
if
these
it's in relation to fat loss.
Yeah.
And what type of cardio are we talking about? So I'm assuming it's like cardio as in a long, slow run or a walk or something.
A low
like that.
Intensity, steady state. Yeah. So look, cardio is important. One thing that I will stress with cardio is. When you do cardiovascular training, so for those of you that don't know what cardiovascular training is, it's when your body is utilizing oxygen to keep yourself going. So running, swimming, bike riding, long sort of stuff, right?
An argument, yeah.
Yeah.
An argument, that's right. With your spouse, yeah.
Yep, totally. What most people don't understand is the stronger your heart is and the better that it can utilize oxygen, the better your recovery rates are. So even if you only ever want to do high intensity interval training, I would suggest doing some sort of really good, having some sort of really good cardio base because the better your body can utilize oxygen to recover from something, from a high intensity interval exercise, then the fitter you become, the faster you can progress, you know, the more energy you burn, faster you lose weight.
Mm. It's also a great base too, isn't it? For people who've never trained before, go out for a walk, then you can go faster, and then you go up hills and run or whatever.
You definitely need both. You can't just do HIIT training forever, in my honest opinion.
So, I mean, you know.
And I hate that because I don't like long cardio.
I don't think many people do, but most people, hence the reason they should do it.
Yeah. I didn't think that would have been the answer. So it really is, foundationally speaking, it's crucial.
It's very crucial.
And it should underpin no matter what fitness people are trying to push on you.
A lot of people, we're sort of getting a little bit confused, I guess, that people think that cardio, because you're burning fat to do cardio, they think it's the best way to to lose body fat.
Mm.
But it's not the most efficient.
Well, the point you made, obviously, when I asked the question was exactly this. It's the question and how it's phrased. We're usually asked, what's the most efficient way to lose fat? And the answer is usually HIIT, if I'm not incorrect. That's what I normally read, that people will answer that. And maybe that's being confused now with people saying, don't do cardio. So the message here is, it's the foundation of everything and you should maintain
that. Because when
you're
doing like high intensity and weights, you're not necessarily in that moment, you're not burning fat, but then you switch in and out, don't you? You switch in and out of burning.
The scientific principle of it is called EPOC, which is excess post-oxygen consumption. So like a lot of brands in the fitness industry have based their business models on high-intensity interval training, right? So what that does is you create an oxygen deficit, and then after you finish training, your body's consistently paying back that oxygen, which is effectively burning energy.
Burning more.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so
that's why you have an elevated heart rate for a while as well.
And that's what it is. But if you can use more oxygen, or if you can use less oxygen more efficiently, so having a higher cardiac health or you know, being more aerobically fit, then your recovery rates to then do another HIIT session the next day are better.
Okay.
So you're fitter.
You're fitter. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Fitter.
Yeah.
We
that's
love
what fitness
fitter.
Actually is.
Was that super confusing?
No, I don't think so. No, I understood it, so therefore I guess everyone else is. Natalie Locke Fitness would like to know what an exercise physiologist does and what would you expect in a session with one?
Fixes you. Moving on.
Fixes you. Well.
Emily Scott.
Could we dive a bit deeper?
I walk in and I'm wrecked and he's like, what's up? And I'm like, I need fixing. My
I'm
body's
a broken
just
human.
Destroyed. I'm broken completely. Fix me. And I walk out going, oh my gosh, he's so good. I'm all better now.
Natalie probably has listened to the previous podcast, right?
Yeah, exactly right.
Totally. And nevertheless, so exercise physiologists in Australia specifically, we are covered under the Medicare, which is our government-backed private health insurer, or you know, private health insurance and medical world. So, what we are is we are very well versed in the delivery of exercise to improve health conditions, whether it be having a heart attack and need to recover from that, or having a sore hips or shoulder movement problem, like Emily was saying before. You know, any of those sorts of things an exercise physiologist can help with. Generally, in a session with an exercise physiologist, you should get some sort of movement screen. So looking at how you move, and then from that, you should be able to take some exercises away that will help your body function or move a little bit better.
Yeah.
Magic, I guess.
Fixes you, like I said. Yeah.
Fixes you. Yeah. Same answer, really. Yep. I didn't see a difference.
That's right. Just wasted 5 minutes.
SASFit would like to know, this is quite specific, so I'm not sure if we can help, but let's hope we can. SASFit, strengthening exercises for degenerative osteoarthritis of the lumbar spine.
Sure.
I'm going to jump in first and say seek medical help and not just a podcast. But if we can help, Jono, what have you got to offer?
Look, if I'm talking about percentages, I don't know SASFit's date of birth, but
Sorry.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Look, degeneration is a fact of life, unfortunately, especially in the lower back, because we're always up against gravity, right? If we're standing up, gravity's acting on our discs and discs are getting smaller and vertebrae are becoming more and more degenerated. That's just the aging process,
and
unfortunately.
We're not as active,
right?
Our postures are degraded. Yeah.
Our bones and our joints and our ligaments. That's it. They say it's so perfectly put when she says it, huh?
That's the difference between having the degree and not. It's going to shit.
I speak really boringly.
That, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But you look, our bones and our ligaments and our joints and our body love load. That's the big thing. And the less we load it, the faster we degenerate.
And you know, a lot of people's issues are because they're not moving enough, right?
Don't
I have
moving
bad knees
it.
Or I have bad this and that. That's because they're not moving enough. Correct. And I've gone through the yep. same thing when I was pregnant, and towards the end of it I didn't move as much and my yep. knees were shit mm-hmm. for a long time, and now they're great because I'm moving more and I'm loading my body more.
Yeah. So the principle there is you just have to move. And unfortunately, obviously, if your degeneration in your lumbar spine, which is your lower back, if that's causing nerve pain, then as Sam said, seek medical advice.
But you should do that anyway.
Yeah, I was totally. Shocked there for a moment. As Sam said, I was like, what did I say? What have we got?
As he looked up at me the first time.
Any problems go to Sam.
Okay, what about this one from Megan Smart? Is it better to work out first thing before food or after?
Personal choice.
Yeah.
There's no benefit to the body working out post-food consumption or prior?
Well, there is an issue. I mean, every person's, as Emily said, every person's so different. I mean, you don't want to be exercising when your blood sugar levels are really low, because exercise, and specifically strength training and HIIT training, lowers your blood sugar levels really, really fast. Eating prior to exercise, you've got to make sure that you obviously feel like you've got enough energy to exercise.
Yep.
But if your goal is weight loss, then you're not going to be stuffing down all the food that you can yeah. eat and then go and try and burn it off, because that'll...
There's so many different things here too. Like, really, it's what you prefer. I personally can now train on an empty stomach because I do fasting a lot,
yep.
which I feel great doing, and I mainly yep. do that for my gut. But also, when you're not digesting, your growth hormone's really high, so then you are actually able to get stronger. It's probably multiple different reasons, yep. but I've increased my strength a lot. But I'm not getting dizzy. So you've got to listen to your body, and if you're feeling dizzy, then chances are
I think though for the average person, right? Like, again, you know, you're not an Olympian, but like you're a very high functioning athlete in the way that you are.
I'm in tune with my body. You can say that.
Like, the average person is working out, I would say, a lot in the mornings. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm taking that based on the fact that if I go to the gym once a year, it's pretty busy in the mornings. That's how I judge it. Anyway, when you see that, should people be waking up with enough time to eat before they're going to the gym? Yeah. Or are they fine to wake up, go to the gym, work out, come home, and then have breakfast? I feel like that's the direction.
It's literally whatever they want. They could have a banana and then go.
Yeah,
but is that better than not eating?
I think more to the point is they probably should be well hydrated if they're doing that first thing in the morning, because they've already fasted, right? So if they went to bed at 10 o'clock and woke up at 6, they've fasted for 8 hours, unless they've gotten up and eaten something.
Yep. We've all been there.
Yeah, 1 a.m. So I guess more to the point is they're probably dehydrated.
Yep.
And hydration is a big thing. I mean, I don't like to comment too much on nutrition for obvious reasons, because it is very specific to the individual. But I think you can, it's like Emily said, she fasts, so her body's obviously trained to deal with sugar levels at a certain
level. And at first I hated it. I
felt
horrible.
Periods of time. Yeah, that's right.
And I adjusted to it. Yeah.
And that's it, right?
Your body will always adjust to that. But I'm very
hydrated. Yeah.
And I take like electrolytes, and I've got BCAAs and all the aminos, all that stuff.
Exactly right. I think hydration's more of the key there. I think, yeah.
Okay.
There's no reason why she can't have a
banana. But if you feel horrible and you can't, basically you want to be able to train the best you can and put in the most effort. So if you need to have food a couple of hours prior, then do that. If you need to have an empty stomach, then do that.
It also goes back to the type of exercise that they're doing at the gym. So if they're doing some low intensity steady state cardio, you don't need it, you know. But if you're doing some high intensity interval training where you need to get into your energy stores and you don't have that energy and you're really dehydrated, you're going to do half a session and need to go home and eat anyway.
Because your glycogen, sugar / carbs, same thing, is stored in your liver and muscles, right, mainly.
Yep.
So usually you've got stores there, and even if you haven't, you've gone to bed, you've eaten, you've gone to bed, you slept. Yep. Even though you're not eating, usually you've still got some in your stores. Most people do.
Especially your liver. You need it
unless
for
you're in ketosis.
Yeah.
So usually there is enough. It's just that instant fuel source. Like, people feel like if you had a lolly before training, you'd probably feel more energetic, but that wouldn't last long.
No, that's right.
Yeah, but anyway,
this sounds a bit like a trick question.
Trick question.
Well,
they all are for you, aren't they?
No, this is a bit of a strange one. But Trisha Hussard has asked, "Do you get sore?" And I'm not sure which way to take that, but I'm guessing just because after you're training. In tune with the body doesn't mean
I don't
mean
know
that
who it's directed
is it directed to.
But
well,
the
questions
trainer,
you asked were for them to ask John.
Yeah.
So, do you get sore?
Yes, he's actually very slow because he's treating people all the time.
This is why I say it's got to be a, you know, it's not a trick question, but I guess it doesn't matter how well in tune you are, you're still going to get sore.
Well, it's the progression, right? So it's how well I progress my own training or I progress a client's training or those sorts of things is how your body adapts to load. And once that load is no longer needed to, well, once that adaptation has been made, you're probably going to get, you know, not too sore.
But so I think initially you do. It depends how hard you're going and the different training that you're doing.
But I think one point there to make is don't ever base soreness or don't ever correlate soreness as an indicator of a good workout.
Yeah.
Because that can really
People
cause some
think
issues.
That if they're not sore, they haven't achieved anything. And I was one of them for a long time. And I personally love being sore because I feel like, yes, I've challenged my muscles hardcore. But I don't always get sore from my sessions. But I do a lot of the time because I am pushing myself. A lot of people don't push themselves enough. They don't challenge themselves enough. Yeah. So I am constantly trying to push myself. Yeah. That's not to say I don't have a session where I don't, you know, go easier.
Yeah, that's right.
It's more of a recovery session.
And to get sore, it's really simple. You should just do negatives.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hold positions. Like that's like if
so
you
what's
just
a negative? Explain that for
so
people.
So a negative is like the lengthening part of a muscle. So
bicep curl, you're curling up.
You're curling up. Coming back down is a negative.
Eccentric phase.
So it's the eccentric phase where the muscle sort of goes from a shortened position to a lengthened position. That's where most of the tearing happens.
So when you're doing your bicep flex, you start out and that's like that position you're
doing.
That's
an eccentric position.
And then you flex.
That's
and
right.
And then that's a flexion.
I thought the camera was on there.
Yeah, no, it's not on.
It's not.
Funny enough.
Well, it's always
flexing
on
without a camera.
Mind.
It's wasted.
And I will actually give a shout out to the last episode we recorded with Jono. We actually talk about the difference between pain and soreness from working out. So that's worth a listen to understand the difference.
Totally.
Now, last week we spoke about Frank Body. We went on for a long time because, as always,
because we love it.
We're a big fan. But we spoke about one of their kits last week for the holidays and they have come back around, love you the most over there at Frank Body, and asked us to chat about one of their other holiday kits, which is the Shiny Things kit. Now, I don't know if they know you well over at Frank Body, but Shiny Things can very quickly confuse you.
And distracts me.
Just immediately. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so when they sent this, I thought, oh dear Lord, she's not receiving this until the last minute because the Shiny Things will absolutely distract her.
I love the rose gold shimmer scrub. So it's like their original Frank scrub with the coffee in it, but it's got shimmery bits in it.
Okay,
so, it leaves
so I've used the orange,
shimmery.
But I have not used the new shiny situation.
You're gonna have to give this a go.
I mean that immediately. But you know, last week we discussed the face scrub, and I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna spend money on it," and I did. So I have tried it now. I actually purchased it. There I am, the sucker that I am.
I was wondering why your skin looks so good.
Thank you. Hello. I'm right into it.
Yep. I take it with me everywhere.
The coffee smell, hello.
We travel all over the world and this comes with me.
But honestly, the smell, I was just... Oh. But also the light, because I was a little... I must admit I was a little bit concerned because of the oil content and I can't with my skin. But it was nice. It was like a refresh moment.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And because it is exfoliating as well, it's removing dead skin and it helps with scars and just has a really nice dewy sort of finish. So you look hydrated, but you don't look oily.
And with this body scrub from the Shiny Kit, are you getting out of the shower like with a little bit of a glow happening?
Yeah, your skin's glowing. Like you look healthy, even if you're not.
I mean, any assistance to glow getting around of a day, right into that. That's so good. And how are you feeling like in terms of lasting? Because I feel like you've always got it with you. It lasts a while, right?
Yeah, it does. You don't have to use that much either. So it really distributes, you know, all over your body and you only need a small amount, but it works really well. So I've had the same pack for quite some time now, probably like a few months.
Is the lip thing you're using the scrub theirs as well, the scrub?
Yes, I love their lip scrub. I can't stand
it.
I get dry lips because I travel heaps.
Yes,
and the skin
on
my lips gets really dry and when I go to put lipstick on, it just looks really bad.
I've borrowed this from you before.
Yeah, because your lips are
so bad, honestly. And I'm like always with the lip balm. I'm right into that as well. But and Frank Bot have the... They have a lip gloss product as well. I'm reading this notes that they've sent us, but they do have a lip gloss. Look, I can't wear a gloss personally.
Why not?
Look, I'm not that extra. Hello.
Yes, you are.
Thanks for the confirmation. All right, that's fab. So it is the holiday kits again that we're talking about, which is great, right? I am a lazy Christmas shopper. How are you? I shop at the absolute last minute.
But you like it.
I love Christmas. I'm right into it. How can you not be into Christmas? I'm right into it. What I'm right into, though, is efficiency. People get themselves worked up over Christmas. You can pop on the Frank Bod website right now. Mm-hmm. You can buy this kit. You're getting three products. And they're coming in a cute box.
Yeah, it's so
cute.
Your
work is done for you.
Oh, when I got it, I was like, this box is so cute, I've got to keep it. And Dick hates it because I like to keep things like that.
You do like to keep things.
I'm a bit of a hoarder, but when you've got a cute box, you have to keep it. So
true. So if people want to add this to their – look, I'm a big gift giver, but I'm also a lover of gifts myself.
Yes.
So I like to buy things for myself.
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
I think people should just purchase a little something for themselves and maybe a little something for someone else. But the other people are extra – you know, yourself is the priority is really where I'm at. That's
I always
Christmas
just think
great.
One for me, one for you. You know,
one everyone's for me as a backup.
Yes, 10 as a backup.
So
but you
true.
Can go to frankbody.com. So it's www.frankbody.com. So it's why do I do this?
Oh my God, just last week,
think,
hello.
I think I jinxed myself.
Literally.
I was thinking, don't do what I did last week. And now I've done it. F-R.
There you go.
Don't forget the R. A-N-K. And then it's body.com. And then a /, and You Can by Emily Skye.
That's pretty easy. I mean, like, there's some simple names. Frank simple. Body. Body
Frank
with a
body.
Y.
I know, but I like to spell things
who
out
incorrectly. Who doesn't know Frank Body? You know what I love? And I said this last week, but I don't feel like they're getting enough praise for it. Australian success story. Yep. Made in Australia. Kicking it in Australia because mm-hmm. Australia is the place to be.
It is. You know? We're there.
And that's 100% true. But also, like, we make a great product in Australia, let's be honest. Fabulous. That's the holiday kits from Frank Body. frankbody.com/you-can-by-Emily-Skye.
You do that better than I do.
Thanks. I said a lot. Skye, S-K-Y-E.
Yes, you should be
and
able
like,
to spell
if you're
it.
Spelling it the wrong way, hello. What even is going
it's
on?
It's more complicated than Sam, though.
All right, let's keep going. All right, let's move on to Mama Lou plus two. See what you did there, guys?
Yeah, that's good.
Shin right. splints. I suffer badly and have tried everything. There's no question mark, but I'm guessing she's looking for tips.
Tried everything and still...
Well, I'm going to say she's throwing everything? The word everything out there pretty prematurely.
So maybe you can explain what they are and what causes it and then what you can do.
So shin splints predominantly is a lot of tightness in and around the shins, particularly a little muscle called your tibialis posterior, which rolls right down the inside of your shin.
I'm feeling it right now.
Yeah, that's the same actually. Not yours.
Guys, the camera's not on.
Under the table.
Oh, wow, okay. What a podcast are we recording here?
Train of thought.
You're feeling your own leg.
She's tried everything.
Okay. Shin splints is a chronic problem, right? From having too much activation through that posterior tibialis posterior. So most people I find with shin splints need two fixes. One is obviously to stretch the area, but the second one is strength and load. Most people, again, with pain or problems they've had for a lot of years, they go away from load, which is effectively weight or those sorts of things, because they think it's going to make it worse. When in actual fact, the stronger you are, the less likely you are to break.
You actually had to reinforce that to me recently, probably about 6 weeks ago. I was having knee problems and it was all because I rolled my foot, I think.
Your ankle.
I rolled my ankle rolled my ankle after I gave birth to Mia. So I was having really bad knee problems and I was even getting bruised on the back of my knee.
Yeah.
Right? And you were like, what are you doing? And I said, I've just been doing a lot of cardio stuff because I was afraid to load it up.
Yeah.
And I should know better because I've got you. Ear in my ear, but you were like, "Em, you need to like go back to loading, do like your deadlifts, your squats, and everything with heavy weights." And I did it, all better. Like, I'm not even shitting you. Like,
yeah,
I'm 100% recovered.
Incomplete, and that's the thing with a lot of my consultations, people get better really fast because I just tell them to go and do some exercise and load this and then do this and that sort of stuff. So you probably don't need to spend as much time stretching as most people think, or getting released from a physio or an acupuncturist or a massage therapist or anything like that. I think most people shy away from load and that's where you can really – like if you think about shin splints, right, so her shin splints are probably going to kick in after a certain period of running, so maybe 100, 200 meters. She's got to be strong enough to withstand longer than that. And if her shin splints don't kick in to a kilometer, then she's got to be strong enough to withstand load outside of 1 kilometer.
Yeah.
Okay.
You do next that through one, more load.
The next question is from Rax_IE. How much recovery is required between workouts for maximum results, both weights and cardio?
It depends.
Yeah, it's another depend. I mean, really heavy loads is really, really it has a lot of strain on the on what we call the nervous system. So your body gets really, really tired from really, really heavy loads. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's a huge volume thing. So volume is pretty much load times reps or load times
how
sets
much overall
reps.
You
yeah,
doing, yeah,
so much overall, right? Whereas a load is just a particular load. So if you're doing really, really heavy training, you're going to find that you're going to be super tired. You're going to be probably super sore because you're going through really, really heavy loads. So you might need an extra day or two. Whereas if you're doing the low intensity steady state cardio, I mean, you can do it twice a day. You know,
basically, the harder, the more intense, like the more you put your body through.
Yeah.
The more you're like damaging your body, but like your muscles.
Yeah, for sure. And on top of that, I mean, what does someone's recovery processes look like after exercise? Like, are they getting enough glucose after exercise? Are they eating enough protein?
Well, someone's actually asked here the best method for recovery, so maybe we go into that as well. What is the best method for recovery?
Nutrition. So, I mean, sleep is a big one. In the last 5 years, I mean, they say between 7 and 8 hours. And under 7 hours, it increases your injury rate by like 2.5 times or something like that.
Is that because you're really – it's for other people because you're really like crabby and you're going to like injure other people like your partner?
Probably.
Yeah. if it's under 7 hours, Declan's likelihood of attack is very high.
I need my sleep. I'm so bad. If I
have experienced that before.
I'm like deaf and very angry. Yeah,
so I mean sleep is one thing. Hydration, so water, just replenishing everything that you've lost is the most important thing. I mean – you know, there's been lots of studies done on compression garments, on, you know, ice,
hot and cold.
Hot and cold.
It's a bit of a, like...
Well, from a scientific standpoint, every time a research article comes out saying there's a benefit, there's another one coming out saying, it's not that good.
I don't think the general, people have to worry about
that's right.
I would say. Like, I've never done it.
I think, look, just replenishing from a nutrition standpoint what you've lost.
Yeah.
So... hydration.
And also, I'll just quickly mention, make sure you're not drinking water that's been like had everything removed, because you can actually become dehydrated if you just drink a lot of that. You got to make sure there's electrolytes and things in it too.
Yeah, that's right.
So, we'll explain that more, Emily, though. Like, so you're picking up a Mount Franklin out of the fridge at the local supermarket.
Well, that should have, wouldn't it? Mount Franklin should have
most of it.
Electric acid, magnesium, chloride. Yeah.
So that's okay. So how do they find water that's stripped out? Where is that happening?
Oh, well, you know, if you're using one of those tap things or something that actually just takes out everything, you're left with just empty water. And if you're drinking a lot of that, obviously when you're eating too, you're getting your
of course,
minerals
yeah.
and everything too. But if you're just drinking a lot of that, you can become dehydrated because you're flushing out
so
your
people
system.
Should be conscious of that.
Your
all
salts
right.
and things. You can even just get pink Himalayan salt or whatever it is, isn't it? You
and
just add that to
it.
Your water. I used to do that, yeah, like a rock and I'd put
that's
that
not going to taste that great.
It's not too bad. A little bit like sea
how
water.
How do you rehydrate?
So, look, I rehydrate with a variety of things. Water, depending on the time of day. Sometimes it's champagne. I can't be sure, John. It really depends on how long my week has been, if I'm honest. Kanan Sling would like to know, exercise for weak knees.
Yes. It's like the same answer, right? Exercise for weak knees. So anything that takes the knee into full flexion and full extension. So
full range of movement.
Full range of motion. Exactly right. So lunging, side lunges are a big thing. I think most people don't really understand that the knee is a really simple joint, right? It moves forward and back, up and down. It's the hip and the ankle, which is above and below the knee, that have a more of an impact on how the knee sits. So from a biomechanical standpoint, if your knees are sore, you need to address how well your hips move. So full range of motion. So because your hips move forward and back, up and down, around and around in circles, so too does your ankle. So the better your hip and your ankle works, then the better your knee is in it. Well, your knee's in a much better position to then be loaded, as opposed to just loading your knees and hoping that the pain goes away. I think he really needs to address hip and ankle range of motion first.
Yeah, because a lot of the problems aren't like if you have knee problems, it's not necessarily something wrong with your knee.
That's right.
Usually your feet or your...
Yeah, it's like that analogy of building a house, right? You got to make sure everything's straight before you put load in a certain area. And then if that area is not straight or not ready for the load, it'll present like pain, but it might not necessarily be the problem to begin with.
And look at it from the ground up, like start with your feet and then work your way out.
For sure.
All right. Well, I think that was a few questions there, which will give people a good idea. I think that we'll probably do this again. So if there are other questions that people have got, most definitely let us know so that we can sort of continue to, help people with, very specific, scientific answers.
Yeah, because Sam can't help you, so.
Well, I mean, I didn't want to embarrass Jono, but my knowledge is pretty broad. but we'll keep bringing him back. He's a nice guy. As always, make sure you have subscribed to the podcast. I like to say it a lot of different ways and times, because if you haven't subscribed, again, I'm personally offended. But again, thank you for joining us, Jono. If you've got, if you're based in the Queensland region, Jono is local to Queensland, but he's also working with people over in the US and, whatnot overseas. So if he can help you, please make sure you're reaching out and please tell us how we can contact you.
Instagram, jono.freeman. That's probably the easiest. And if I can't help you, I'll be sure to put you in touch with someone who can.
Perfect.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us again. This is our second episode.
Great.
Hopefully we will have you back many times because obviously I love talking about all this. It's my passion.
And she's not sold on my knowledge, which is rude. But
I mean, I'm upset to actually end it. I could just go on forever. Whenever I'm with Jono and he's like fixing me, I'm always a sponge just learning and learning.
Our consults go from 40 minutes to 4 hours sometimes.
Yeah, seriously.
With Emily Sky running over time. Tell me more, Jono. What do you mean?
I was worried that I was turning up late today, but I was actually early.
Oh, no. Never late when Emily's involved.
I was here early today, by the way.
You were.
Mention that.
You were.
Well, I mean, if you've been listening to the podcast, you'll know that the only reason apparently Emily's ever late is Declan.
Yeah, exactly. And he's not here today to defend himself, tell the truth. Tell the truth. No, I'm late a lot, but I've been really making an effort because I'm trying to,
You have, to
work
be honest.
On the things I'm not good at. Yeah, so I've
just
been making
your strongest ever.
Yeah.
I should ask this actually. How often do you see Jono?
Probably not enough, to be honest, but it's whenever I've got an injury.
But she's such a great student.
I've been seeing Jono for many years, probably for about 4 or 5 years now, I think.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Something like that. I see him a fair few times a year, but sometimes it might be like a month apart. Another time might be 6 months because I've been good and I've been doing what he tells me to do.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's interesting though. I always find it interesting when people who are at the top of their game are still seeking, people's help and assistance from other, experts in their field.
Well, I think if you're not, then you should be. And a lot of people say to me, well, if you're a trainer, why? Because I've been trained by other trainers before. Yep. Doesn't mean that you can't get someone else or someone that might be better or be different or just have someone to
bearing
push
opinions,
you further.
More information never hurts.
Yeah, information so always learn. Consistently changing. So that's the most important thing too, is keeping yourself, at the top of.
Well, I first studied fitness when I was like 18 or 19. That's a long time ago, like 15, 16 years ago. So things change, and if you're not keeping up to date, you're getting left behind, and for the people that you're trying to help or educate, you need to.
I know what you're talking about. I stay up to date with all my fitness. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for listening as always, and we will see you next time.
And remember, you can. Thanks for listening to the You Can podcast with me, Emily Sky. This podcast is part of the Spin Studio Network. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, and I'll be so grateful if you could rate and review my podcast. To stay up to date with me, follow me on Instagram at You Can by Emily Sky and join our closed Facebook group so we can chat. Just search You Can by Emily Sky.